thing. So we're really excited about that. 1992 was an Olympic year. If you're an Olympic lover, it's 1992 was the Barcelona Olympics, one of the great Olympics. My memory of that is the divers on the outside platform with the beautiful Spanish scape behind. But one of the other things that happened in that event, in that time, in that games, was the 400 meters men. There was a man named Derek Redmond. Derek Redmond was running for England. He'd entered the race and he'd made his way through the semifinals. And Derek Redmond was a great runner. And he's at the blocks and he's ready to start, and the gun goes off and he makes a great start, and he's running out of his skin, he's running out near the front, the crowd's going wild, everyone's cheering, there's other racers that he's against and they're all in this race. And then at about 250 meters to go, Derek feels something ping in the back of his leg. It's his hamstring, it goes, and so he falls to the ground. And as he falls to the ground, he gets himself back up and he starts to hobble and he can't run properly anymore. His gait has been altered and he's starting to just, and then he's falling down, he's getting back up and he's falling, and people are watching this, and his tenacity to want to finish what he started is inspiring to everyone that's watching it. Our hearts are going out to him. And then something amazing happens. In the midst of his getting up, falling down, getting up, dragging himself along, out of the crowd jumps over the fence a guy by the name of Jim Redmond. Jim Redmond's Derek's dad. And he goes out onto the track and he puts Derek's arm around him. And for the next 200 meters, they limp together towards the line. The race has gone. All those who are winning have already crossed the line. They're ripped through. But they continue to go towards the line. As they go into the line, it does something in the crowd. The crowd raises to their feet. They're clapping. They're chatting. It's touching something within humanity that's deep within us. And as he walks towards the line, he crosses the line. Everyone cheers. He has finished what he started. He needed help. He needed guidance. But a family member stepped in and helped him to the line. What a great story that was. It sticks with most of us who have watched that because it's something that was quite phenomenal. And in the Christian life, it's a little bit like that. We start the race and we want to finish the race, and multiple times we would fall down. And what Jesus does is he comes and lifts us up. But more than just Jesus lifts us up, Jesus inside the body of believers comes alongside and helps us up. It's like Jesus invites us into the incarnational ministry of him to walk alongside people, to journey with people that we might finish the race that we have begun. And so it touches something within inside of us. I want to read to you today 1 John chapter 4. We've been looking through the book of 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 1, it talks about love for one another. As I read it, I'm then going to pause for about 30 seconds at the end of this and allow you just to meditate on what you have read or what you have heard. And it says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God has loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he is in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister. We're just going to let that sit with us. Remembering the writer of 1 John is circling around these topics of life, love, truth. And life, love, and truth, he wants us to know, are only found in the person of Jesus Christ. You'll only find true life, you'll only find true love, you'll only find true truth in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's setting us up that we are people who dwell in Christ and Christ dwells in us. And therefore we have this urgency, this calling to join him in the ministry of love one to another. And he sets this up in chapter 4 at the start, where he talks about there are different spirits in this world. There are different spirits. And he said, every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. When the spirit acknowledges that Jesus came in the flesh, that he came, he lived amongst us, that he died us in the person of Jesus Christ, that is of God. That is the spirit that dwells in each one of you that calls on the name of Jesus. In verse 4 it says, you, which is us who believe. Remember, he starts at the start of 1 John, he talks about we and you. The we is the people writing, the apostles who have walked with Jesus. The you are the people that they are speaking to. And he says, you, the people who believe God, are from God and have overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is he in you than he that is in the world. Why? Because he that dwells in you is God himself. It is Jesus by his spirit dwelling richly inside the believer. That's what dwells in you. That's good news. That's amazing news. So let us love one another, because love comes from God. If you love, you're born of God and you know God. If you don't love, you don't know God, is what it says. And this love is not in your strength. It's not in my strength. It's not because I'm great at it or you're good at it. No, no, it's in the strength of God. God sent Jesus into the world that we might live through him, it says. Our life is now embedded in Christ, and Christ's life is embedded in us, and we live life through him. We live because he lives. We have capacity to love one another because he lives richly and dwells within us. If Christ dwells within us, then it is inherent that we move to be like him and to love one another. Because he is love. And he's not love in the mushy kind of way. He's not love in the pick up the spring leaves, the autumn leaves, and toss them in the air and dance through them. Well, I'm sure he loves that. He's not love in the way that we buy ice creams together and share licks of it. His love is sacrificial. His love is laying down life one for another. And that's what dwells richly within us, it says here. This is the setup. Therefore, if we are like him, guess what? We are called to lay down our life for one another. This really is love. Not what we did or what we do, but that which Jesus has already done. He loved us so much that Jesus came as our one and only sacrifice. It says the atoning sacrifice, the one and only, that no more sacrifice needs to be made. It has been made for you. And because of that, he now lives, but he now lives in you. And therefore, you are like Jesus, it'll go on to say. He is the one and only sacrifice for our sins. For verse 11 and verse 12 of that chapter 4 says this, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also need to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. It's made complete in us because we are living out the things of God one to another. People know who God is because of the way that we love one another, the scripture will go on to say. It's like this. In the first, number one, God resides in those who Love him. If you love Jesus today, God resides in you. That's good news. That's fantastic news. Number two, if God is in you, you live through him. Your life is no longer yours, but we live it unto him. You live through him. Three, if you're living through him, you need to understand that he is love. He is love. What is love? For he laid down his life for you that you might have life through him. Number five, when we love each other, his love is made complete within us. When we are a community that lays down our life one for another, his love is made complete in us. Not that his fullness of his love is not already in you, but it's made complete in us as we live it out, as we put it into action, as we actually put feet and hands on it, as we don't just talk about it and sing songs aspiring to it, but actually we live it out one to another. His love is made complete in us. What is love? What is love? Well, the other day, I rang up my good friend who's a believer, who I get encouragement from and I love hanging out with, and I rang him up and I said, let's go out for a coffee. And so we went out for a coffee, and the good thing about hanging out with this friend is when I go for a coffee with him, it makes me feel amazing. And often he pays for the coffee, and it's awesome. And as we drank that coffee in the beautiful sunlight, and I knew that he'd just paid for it, and he's sharing encouragement to me, and I'm being lifted up, and I think, isn't this Christian community beautiful? Yeah, it's good, but that's not love. Love, as we've already mentioned, is not just romantic. But love is found in 1 John chapter 3, which we read last week, verse 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in the person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but let's love with action and truth. Love is not about what I get out of it. Love is not about how I feel out of it. Love is not about multiple things. Love is about actually laying down my life sacrificially one to another. That's what love is. And Jesus was the exemplar of that. But we need to know that the one who laid down his life for us actually now lives deeply and richly in us, and our lives are only found as we live out that through him. And so as I live out through him one to another, I am then called to lay my life down for each other, for one of you, for you and for me. If Christ is in us, we live through him, and he is love. And that we love is that we lay down our lives for one another. We love with action and truth. Man, I wish we just loved in word. That would be good, wouldn't it? Neil, I love you. I don't want to do much about that, but I love you. So good. Chris, love you, mate. But we love with action and truth. We meet each other's needs and we minister to each other the things of Christ, grace, mercy, love, truth. We minister that one to another, and we do it with action. James says this, James chapter 2 verse 14 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, which is in word, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. It's got to be far deeper than just words of... Now, sometimes words of encouragement are called for. Sometimes words of correction are called for. But if it's just words and no deed, no action, then we might be missing the mark. Matthew chapter 5 says it like this. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 35 says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see the hungry feed you or the thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go and visit you? The king replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I loved what Jennifer shared at communion because she actually said those who call on the name of Jesus are our brothers and sisters. She said that we have Christ in common, that we are family. That pushes me out of my comfort zone now. Because even in the family of God, there are those ones that I like to hang out with and those ones I find easy and those ones that I find are welcoming. And so I like to do stuff for them and I like to help them. But what actually the scripture is saying, actually we live out the things of Jesus. We live out the love of Christ. We find who Christ is actually as we live out that one to another, to the very least of these. To the very least of these. And so I'm challenged as I read that because I'm called to love my brothers and sisters. Whatever comes across my path that God leads me to, I'm now called to love them one to another. What can this love look like? Well, just in our very community, this is where I see that love playing out. This is where I see it happening amongst you, and I go, wow, that inspires me. Wow, that encourages me as I see it moving in this very, very community. Jennifer mentioned it today. As simple as this, when someone can't get out of their chair and come and get communion, I see people going and getting cups and taking the bread and the cup to them. Very simple, but very symbolic and very powerful about I see your need and I'm actually going to meet it because I have two legs and I have two hands and I can move freely most days. I'm going to bring it to you. I see that happening. Wow, it's amazing. I see it happening in a young youth leader looking out for a young lady who comes to youth and she doesn't really connect with anyone. She doesn't know many people and she's sitting in her car and she doesn't want to get out. And I see a young youth leader go and meet with her and then spend the whole night with her, walking with her. Wow. That's in this community. That's the love of God playing out. I see it in the way people in this congregation organize significant celebratory parties for those that are unable to do it themselves. In a way that's dignified and uplifting. And I go, wow, that's the love of God in community. That's special. I see it in the way that there's people in our congregation who walk alongside other people who've had their whole lives tipped upside down, not because of their own actions, but because of things that have happened in their sphere. And now they're having to change everything from living arrangements to financial arrangements. And I see someone in this congregation walking alongside that person and getting them to the right help and getting them to the right spaces and helping them and being that walk alongside. I see the love of God in this very, very community. I see it in the way that people invite people who aren't as connected in this community into their connect groups and say, we've got space for you. You belong with us. I see this love of God permeating in this community and it's inspiring and it's encouraging and it should urge us on to keep going because when we live like that, His love is made complete amongst us. That's the beauty of community. And if we look at 1 John, what's he saying? He's saying, hey, hang on to Jesus because that's where you find real life, that's where you find real love, and that's where you find real truth. And as the body of Christ, we have the privilege and the honor and to be invited into the partnership of incarnational ministry because of the person of Jesus Christ that lives in us. It's not your strength. It's not my strength. It's not because we're good at it. It's because he who lives in us draws us to it. We see it happening and we go, there's something about that that's in me. There's something about that that makes me go, Why? Because the Creator has made you that way and he hasn't only made you that way, he now dwells in you and it's him who compels us to lay down our life one for another because we only know what love is because he laid down his life for us. He died for us. That's massive. That's massive. Sometimes I think in our Western context, well, let me just speak for me. I lose context of what it is that he laid down his life for me. And he brings a need in front of me. And guess what? He can fix that by himself. But he invites me with what he's given me to show the love of Christ one to another. And I can be like, oh, Lord, help me, please. I don't want to do this, God. I'm tired, I'm run down. Favorite movie's on. But we're compelled. Remember, we love because he first loved us. This is the thing, as you get in this mode of loving one another, guess what? It doesn't become a chore, it becomes a way of life and it becomes life-giving. This is the beauty of it. It's actually where you find your life. As you lose your life, you find your life. It's amazing. When we love each other, his love is made complete among us. And Christ is alive in us. What makes a vibrant community of believers? One that looks out for each other. One that helps the other one up. One that helps the other one finish the race. That's what makes an alive community. That's what brings a community to life, when we allow the love of Christ to swell through us. That's the place we want to hang out, isn't it? If I interviewed every single one of you and you said, you would say that's the place I want to hang out, because it's where we find life. It's where his love is made complete in us. If you take that out of the body, we're just a group of people. It says, in this world, we are like Jesus. I always find that a fascinating piece of scripture. That in this world, we are like Jesus. We are like Jesus. Because Jesus lives in us, lives through us, and we live in him. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Lord Jesus. We have confidence because we know that Christ dwells richly in us. There's no fear, it says, on the day of judgment, because God sent Christ and he is evident in our lives. He's evident in us by the way that we love him. We're partnering with him, which is love, and where we find our life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says this. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with the instructor. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. We all have our loads to carry, but at different times, those loads become bigger than our loads. They become burdens. And the honor and the privilege that it asks for us as the body is to carry one another's burdens. Carry them to Christ, carry them through Christ, apply the things of Christ to them, share what we've been given. Everyone has a load, but sometimes people have a burden and we are called to do that. And when we do that, his love is made complete in us. John chapter 13, verse 35, just paraphrasing, everyone will know you belong to me. Everyone will know but you belong to Jesus by the way that you love one another. Isn't that amazing? We find life in it, but more than that, we help out our brothers and sisters, and more than that, those who see us will know who Christ is by the way that we live amongst us. That's great. The first port of sharing the love of God is the way we live it out one to another. That's the first space of it. And the scripture says that by the way we love one another, others will know who he is. Back to 1 John chapter 4, it says, no one has ever seen God, but they know who he is by the way that we love each other. Wow. This is a privilege. This is actually an honor. I'm not whipping you with hard work here. It's an honor to live out the love of Christ. And when you do that, you actually find your life. It involves our eyes being open. It involves our hearts being open. It involves us being vulnerable one to another. And it involves us sharing life with one another. God invites us to be a part of his incarnational ministry in this space. Only happens through the person of Jesus Christ. That's why churches are special communities. That's why we're not social clubs. That's why we're not the bowls club. That's why we're not the any other club that you can think of. We're the body of Christ. It's because he dwells richly in amongst us, invites us and compels us and implores us and empowers us to love one another, not just in word, but in practical ways. And in doing that, we live out the things, the love of Christ, not only amongst us, but it overflows to a community that is calling out for the love of Christ. Because here's what I know, you start to live like this, you can't stop it. And pretty soon, you're loving people who aren't Christian brothers and sisters in exactly the same way. Because it becomes who you are, because you live out the things of Jesus wherever you go. So this week, as you meditate on the word of 1 John chapter 4, know that love is only found in him, but know that Christ, who lives richly and deeply, invites you to partner what he's doing. He's doing some crazy things and invites you to be a part of it. If you see a need amongst us, talk to the person. See how you can help. See what you can do. Because it's Christ that's calling you into that space and inviting you in there. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father God, I want to thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, you invite us into life in you. You invite us into life through you. What a privilege that is, God. God, we are no different to anyone else. Yet you invite us into partner with you in what you're doing in this community, but also the world. Father, we know that love is only found in Jesus. That's where we've found love. That's where we found truth. Lord, help us now to live that love out in ways that show who you are. Help us be people who see need, who walk with need, and help each other finish the race. Thank you for the beautiful picture today, Lord, of Jim Redmond climbing a fence and helping his son to the finish line. Father, today here, sometimes we're Derek Redmond and sometimes we're Jim Redmond. Father, in times where we see need, may we be bold enough to climb a fence and get down onto a track and walk side by side. But Father, in times of need, when we're Derek, would we be vulnerable enough to say, I need a hand? And may the love of God continue to permeate this community like we richly see so often. We thank you for the blessing of the body. We thank you for the blessing of the community. And we thank you that you are at the center of all that. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pete. Let us...